Welcome to episode 15 of the West Shore History Podcast. I'm your host, Sue Harper. In this episode, I'm going to walk you through the life history of one of West Shore's women pioneers, Emma Dixon Pike. Emma and her family led a bit of a wild and varied life throughout the West Shore, and its story I think you'll enjoy. This episode, I want to thank Emma's great-granddaughter, Carol Hale, for filling in some of the gaps and giving family insights into Emma. Without the generous contributions of Carol, I don't think this episode would have been as complete as it is. You'll probably notice when reading past histories that most are written from a man's point of view, and men usually seem to play the dominant role in any story. Read through any newspapers and historical accounts, and it's full of adventure, exploration, daring deeds, but it's only in passing that a woman's name is mentioned. Women appear so little that you would think it was only men that toiled and created the colonies. The women who rode on the ships, crossed the plains and Rockies by horse, mule, on foot, and later by train, brought with them their babies or gave birth here with little to no medical care, grew up, married, and supported their husbands and toiled by their sides to build a homestead in the West Shore. So this brings us to Emma Dixon. This episode is what I consider to be a short version of Emma's life. If I presented the full history, I think it would be more than a two-hour episode. But if you're a patron of the podcast, you'll have full access to a 40-page document on her life. To become a patron, just follow the links in the episode's description. About 162 years ago, on April 3rd, 1861, a little girl was born at the Yew Tree Farm in the Highlands District on Vancouver Island. Emma Pike was the eldest daughter of proud parents Caleb Pike and Elizabeth Lydgate. To learn Emma's story, I have to trace a little bit of the family's history. Her father, Caleb, was born in England in 1830. He was one of 10 children. By his age of 19, England was in a deep recession and the future looked bleak for young men and women, as work was hard to find. Caleb and his two brothers, Jonas and William, emigrated to England in 1850, leaving from Gravesend on board the ship called Norman Morrison. He was indentured for 5 years to the Hudson Bay Company and worked at the Victoria Fort and Craigflower Farm. The purpose of the 5 years of indenturement was to work off the debt owed to the Hudson Bay Company for paying the cost of the boat tickets to Vancouver Island and to ensure that the company had a skilled workforce. Oh, and by the way, it took 5 months to sail from England to Vancouver Island. I believe that Caleb would have met his eventual bride, Elizabeth, either at the Craigflower Farm or Fort Victoria. Elizabeth's father, Duncan Lydgate, was a carpenter at the farm, so it would make sense that they crossed paths. The Lydgate family, who were from Scotland, had arrived in Victoria with their three children in 1852, also aboard the Norman Morrison. Elizabeth Waldie Lydgate was born 1839, so she would have been 13 at the time of the voyage. Caleb and Elizabeth married in 1856. At the end of the five-year contract with the HBC, they had a choice of £25 or 25 acres of land in the colony of Vancouver Island. Caleb took the land. Between 1856 and 1858, he purchased 60 acres, which became known as the Yew Tree Farm, where their eldest daughter, Emma, was born. She would actually be one of 11 children. The farm eventually consisted of 286 acres with a house, barn, stables, and outhouse. The property was right by the mill stream, which provided them with fresh water. Life must have been hard for the young family. Long days clearing rugged terrain, contact with the outside world of Victoria was at least a day's travel along a dirt trail, enduring solitude, self-reliance, and the struggle raising children who had to grow up fast. You would think that the Pike family would be settled with this amount of land, but hearing about the quality of farming on the mainland, Caleb left his farms on Vancouver Island and moved sometime between 1871 and 1874 to a place called Mud Bay in New Westminster. There, he purchased 164 acres, taking his family with him, but he kept his lands in the Highlands District as well. Tragedy struck the family on September 12, 1875. Emma's mother died at the age of 38. The cause of death was consumption. This left Emma to care for her siblings in Mud Bay while her father toiled the land to keep his family fed. She was only 14. After 3 years in this role, she decided she had had enough. She took money from her father's jar and ran off and married a man named Joseph Dixon, an American logger, on May 13, 1878. On the marriage certificate, Emma is listed as age 17, while Joseph was 28. Joseph apparently was from North Carolina and a woodsman, but that information is a little suspect as his background is really hard to track. All we really know is that he was an American. Caleb, her father, was left without anyone to help with the children. Plus, rumor has it that he didn't like Emma's husband at all. Emma and her father's relationship became very strained. Caleb moved back to the Highlands around 1881, and with the help of his two sons, built the log home that is still in existence today, known as the Pike Homestead at 1589 Millstream. Much of the original property is held within the Taub Golan Provincial Park. Meanwhile, Emma and Joseph farmed 80 acres on Westham Island, which is in Delta on the mainland. Joseph had purchased the land for $50. They had three children between 1879 and 1884. Sadly, one of their children, Leffa, died at Canoe Pass at age 4 in 1886. There is no indication that Joseph or Emma had any contact with her father, Caleb, and did not move back to the Highlands area until sometime after Caleb's death at age 57 in 1888. Caleb's death was listed as exhaustion 1 week. Emma also waived her right to her father's property, and her brother Henry bought the balance of his father's crown grant at Section 35 of 160 acres for $160. Emma and Joseph had five more children between 1888 and 1901, all born in the Highlands District. They were farming at Section 27 in the Highland District, just north of where her brothers were farming their father Caleb's farm. The Victoria Census at the time states that Emma could read and write and was a homemaker. Joseph is listed as not being able to read and write and a farmer. This seems confirmed as in 1888, he could barely write his name on a birth certificate. By all accounts, Joseph had a temper. One of their daughters, Margaret Annie, recalled that her father Joseph had a .45-70 gun and made his own shells. She claimed that her father would often shoot his gun off over the heads of his children if he did not think they were working hard enough out in the fields picking their vegetables. How he treated Emma was also up for debate. Joseph was known in the area as a notorious character, reputed to be partial to settling disagreements with his gun, as was noted in the Highland District Council meeting in 1995. At some point, there was a serious family dispute at the farm. The actual issue is unknown, but as the story goes, Joseph got his gun out and started shooting up everything in sight. Emma, fearing for the children, had them all hide under burlap sacks in the orchard. The situation must have been intense, as Joseph, fearing the police would be called, jumped into a boat, which he kept off of Finlayson Arm Road, a short distance from their farm. He rowed off to the San Juan Islands, USA, and never returned to Canada. He abandoned Emma and the children, who were left to fend for themselves, with some help from Emma's brothers. Emma stayed on the farm and managed to produce enough food for herself and her children. However, Emma's bad luck continued. Harry Edwards, who was married to Emma's eldest daughter, Martha, managed to track Joseph down in the USA and got him to sign over the property that Emma still lived on for a bottle of whiskey. On Harry's return to the Highlands, he advised Emma that she could stay on the farm, but that her children, who were still living with her at the time, could not. Why he gave Emma this ultimatum is unclear, but if true, it was certainly a brutal thing to do to a single parent. Emma decided to move. It is possible at this time she spent a short while over near Humpback, the Goldstream area. It was referenced in the Times Colonist in 1970 that she had spent some time living at the Carlow farm located there. This might make sense as Carlow's had property also on Millstream, so it's probable that they knew one another. 1907 brought with it the death of Emma's youngest daughter, Laura Ethel Dixon, who had been born in 1902. She died at age 5 on October 22, 1907. Apparently, she had received severe burns while her older sister Martha, age 23, had been making fudge. Her death certificate states that she died of shock from burns 8 hours. She died at Royal Jubilee Hospital in Victoria. On February 22, 1912, at age 52, Emma, in her own right, was granted by the Crown a property southwest of her father's old farm. Preemption had allowed settlers to start their homesteads before applying for a Crown grant. After occupying the land for a minimum of 2 years and making improvements to the value of $2.50 an acre, settlers could purchase the land for the nominal price of $1 per acre. She was granted 113 acres, Section 73, for $113. So this means that Emma was homesteading on the property from at least 1910, if not before. Today, the location of the property, I believe, would be off of Finlayson Arm Road at Roundtree Road and Byart Road, which would take you onto the old section of North 73. There doesn't seem to be any evidence left of Emma and the family living there, unless something could be found in the thick brush. But please note that this area is private property, so don't get traipsing around there. It was on this property that Emma Dixon built a lean-to, and then later a log cabin with the help from her older children and brothers, who lived close by on the Pike Farm. In 1911, the census lists her as living with her 4 youngest children, Charles, James, Mary, and Annie. It also states that all can read and write, and Charles and James are listed as laborers. Emma is listed as head of the household. Emma was able to provide for herself and her children by growing vegetables and selling produce at local markets. She cared for the farm animals, which included pigs, a cow, chickens and rabbits, and earned some extra money by cleaning the Highland schoolhouse. Once a week, Emma would take fruits and vegetables from her farm by horse and buggy to the local markets in Esquimalt and Victoria. This trip along rugged dirt roads would have taken her all day to complete. It had to have been a hard life, yet she was described as a real live wire, witty and full of fun. It's not completely confirmed when her husband, Joseph Dixon, died. A death certificate has been found dated March 16, 1913, which could possibly be Joseph, from Jefferson County, Fort Discovery Bay, a farming area in the U.S. He had died of alcoholism and exposure. A wife is indicated, but details are unknown. Tragedy struck Emma and her family during World War I. Her son, James Arthur Dixon, was killed at the Somme in France on September 7, 1916, at age 23. James was with the Canadian Infantry Regiment, 16th Battalion. At first, it was thought he was just injured, then missing in action, but later confirmed he'd been killed. For some reason in 1919, Emma put in a personal ad in the paper that stated, "Mrs. Emma Dixon will not be responsible for any bills or transactions contracted by any of her daughters, single or married." It can only be guessed that she was being contacted over possible unpaid debts incurred by her daughter or daughters. At some point after 1929, probably due to failing health and old age, and her grown children no longer with her, Emma left her homestead in the Highlands and went to live in Colwood with her daughter Margaret Annie and first husband Ernest Watts, whom Margaret had married in 1920. Emma died March 27, 1935 in Colwood, BC at age 75 and was buried March 29, 1935 at Hatley Memorial Gardens, Colwood. There's no record of cause of death at BC Archives. The service was held at St. John's Church, located close to Hatley Gardens. At age 69, Emma had made a will on the 11th of September, 1929. It confirms the location and size of her property in the Highlands, and also that she left her possessions to her children. It stated, "My land, North Section 73, 97.45 acres more or less, situated in Highlands District, to be sold after my death to the highest bidder and monies divided among my two sons and four daughters. My daughter, Margaret Annie Watts, is to receive one shotgun, formerly owned by my deceased son, James Arthur Dixon. Also, Margaret Annie Watts is to receive a war medal on a chain now in my possession. All of my personal property and chattels are to be equally divided among my two sons and four daughters." I visited Emma's grave in September 2022 at Hatley Memorial Gardens. She lies in Section B, Plot 115. It's a simple grave with a simple stone in the ground with her name. It seems to underline the fact that she led a simple, hard, but fulfilling life of a pioneer woman in the Highlands. Her descendants living today can and should be proud. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the West Shore History Podcast. I hope Emma has given you a glimpse into the life of a pioneer woman. While she went through many tragedies and hardships, she didn't give up, and even managed to purchase and survive on her own land, which would have been quite a triumph in the day. Thanks again, and stay tuned for more episodes from the West Shore History Podcast.